Let us read together in the Word of God in the New Testament in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 14. In our series of studies of encounters with Jesus, we are going to consider the story of King Herod. And this passage is simply the introduction to the story of Herod, because Jesus is not really mentioned. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 14. The earlier verses tell of the disciples being sent out in their evangelistic tour. Verse 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said of Jesus, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead. That is why these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah the prophet. Others said, it is one of the prophets. It is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, that is of Jesus and his disciples and their ministry, he said, John the Baptist, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. When Herod heard John, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl in great bravado, ask me for whatever you wish and I will grant it. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And the mother said, the head of John the Baptizer. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. I think actually he was devastated. But because of his oath, that is his vows, and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard and gave orders to bring his head. He went and beheaded John in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples, that is, when John's disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus, having heard of the death of John the Baptist, said, come away by yourselves to a lonely place. And Jesus and his disciples departed. In our Sunday morning series of studies so far, the encounters with Jesus that we have read and studied have all been positive. And in most cases, these encounters with Jesus have resulted in faith and salvation and new life and new hope. Although in one of the studies, the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda, in John chapter 5, there is an element of doubt as to what the issue of that encounter with Jesus was, because when Jesus met the man later on, and I'm quoting John chapter 5 verse 14, Jesus said to the man, "Sin no more, lest something worse happens to you." So whether that man really came to saving faith or not, I cannot tell, and it is not for me to judge. But when we come this morning to the story of Herod, we have something quite different. We have a story that is very moving, and a story that is very disturbing. And when you consider this story, first of all, it's very easy to be somewhat perplexed by the attitude and by the actions of Jesus. We are told in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 13, when Jesus heard this, that is the account of how John the Baptist had been executed, he withdrew from there, that is, he withdrew from the territory of Herod. When he heard, he withdrew. He deliberately avoided any contact with Herod. When he heard of this terrible deed by the so-called government, he didn't challenge the government. He didn't challenge Herod. He withdrew. He deliberately avoided Herod. When we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, at verse 32, we find it recorded there that some of the Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox Herod, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day I finish my course." He did what he seldom did in other cases. He criticized Herod publicly, calling him a fox, a very uncomplimentary term. He really described Herod as a third-rate schemer. Strange attitude for Jesus. He avoided Herod. He accused him publicly, criticized him publicly. And then when we go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, at verse 9 or verse 8, remember, Jesus has been arrested. Pilate doesn't know what to do. He sends him to Herod. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign or miracle done by him. So Herod questioned Jesus at some length, but Jesus made no answer. You see what I meant when I said that we could be perplexed by the attitudes and the actions of Jesus? He avoided Herod. He criticized publicly in the most contemptuous of terms. And when Herod was very keen to have a discussion about religion, Jesus refused to speak to him. Now that kind of background to my mind indicates that we have here a story of an encounter with Jesus that deserves serious consideration. And we've got to think about Herod, perhaps thinking first of all about his background. He was the son of Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee, the son of Herod the Great. And Herod the Great was the Herod of the Christmas story. Remember how when Herod heard of this child who had been born in Bethlehem, he was troubled. Now that Herod of the Christmas story was the Herod who spent a great, great deal of money reconstructing the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. This was the Herod who, for his summer palace, or his winter palace, was it, built the great fortress of Masada up the hill on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He was by birth an Edomite. By religion, he was both a Jew and an idolater. And when he heard of the birth of Jesus, he was troubled. Ah, but you say, that was the Herod who slaughtered all the babies. Yes. And that was the Herod who was the father of the man that we are studying this morning. So the fellow didn't have much of a helpful background. And I suppose all parents here this morning should consider what kind of background and what kind of atmosphere are we giving to our children to grow up in. It's a very important consideration. Now, the Herod we are talking about this morning is described in our reading this morning as King Herod. But you know, he never was a real king. And at the end of the story of Herod, when you go to secular history, you find that his wife, who was a very, very ambitious woman, she was determined to be a queen. Oh, she wanted a title. It's got a very contemporary ring about it. People do all sorts of things nowadays to get a title. Well, Herodias was like that. And she so plagued her husband Herod about a title that she persuaded him eventually to leave Judea and to go to Rome to make a personal appeal to the emperor to get a title, the official title of king, as Herod's brother had already got. And hard luck for Herod when he got to Rome. The emperor wasn't in a good mood. And poor old Herod, instead of getting a title king and Herodias queen, he was made to be in disgrace. He was sent into exile and he finished a nothing. Herod the king. When you read about him, you become aware that he was cruel. He was sensual. And he was a drunkard. And in a great many ways, he was a fool. His wife was Herodias. Well, in actual fact, Herodias was the wife of Herod's brother. And he stole his brother's wife and married her. And the commentators tell me that Herodias was also Herod's niece. And therefore, on two different levels, according to Jewish law, this marriage, it wasn't really a marriage, should never have been. The relationship was adulterous and incestuous. It was forbidden by God. But this woman, whom Herod had taken, had tremendous power over her husband, and she used it to the full. And there's a lesson here. Be careful who you marry. Because if you marry contrary to God's law and God's will, it will prove to be nothing but a disaster. Be careful who you marry, and be careful why you marry. Because Herod married Herodias on the basis of desire. But desire is very, very different from love. So we've got Herod, we've got Herodias, and we've got Herodias' daughter by her previous marriage, Salome. She was a pretty girl, but she was senseless. She was pretty, but she had nothing but her prettiness. And she was under the power of her mother. I'm not sure what age she was. But I think there is a possibility that Salome, this young woman, attractive young woman, she may have hated having to go into that banqueting room and dance in front of all these men, many of whom already had far too much to drink. But her mother cared nothing for what her daughter felt. She wasn't interested in her daughter's embarrassment or her daughter's shame. And so Salome had to dance. The other character in the story so far is John the Baptist, a man of God, a preacher of righteousness, calling the people to repentance and to faith. The kind of preacher who was not afraid to speak plainly and to say to the king, that is, to say to the royal family, and to say it publicly, you have no right to live as you do. And he paid the price. No, I'm not going to criticize archbishops and all the rest of it. If the impossible were to happen and I had to preach at Crathy, would I dare to say, you have no right to live as you do, and to say it in the name of God? John the Baptist paid the price for that sermon. He was imprisoned. I written in my notes, he was executed, but it wasn't really an execution, it was a murder. And into that background, and into that story, and into the lives of these people, there came Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Jesus Christ who came into the world to save sinners. And it needs to be said that God reaches out to the greatest of sinners. That's why we sang that last hymn, none too vile or loathsome for a Savior's grace. I almost hesitate to quote this, but it is scripture. Listen to this from Paul's letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6 at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor sexual perverts, nor thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, robbers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, and they were washed clean from all their horrible sins. And by Jesus Christ they were brought into the very kingdom of God. None too vile or loathsome for a Savior's grace. But Herod, all the way through, was basically unmoved. And the last that we see of Herod in Scripture is in Luke chapter 23 at verse 11. And it is a picture of Herod mocking Jesus to his face. The Jesus crowned with thorns, clothed in purple with a reed in his hand, already showing signs of his dying agony. And Herod laughed in his face, mocked him, and derided him. And this is the encounter with Jesus that we are speaking about this morning. Now, how did it all come about? Well, there is no doubt from Scripture that to begin with, Herod was interested in the person and the ministry of John the Baptist. And there were, I believe, Orthodox Jewish influences in Herod's background in spite of the influences and the atmosphere of his home. In the passage that we read this morning at verse 20, we read, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. When he heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. J.B. Phillipson's late part of that verse, Herod used to listen to John and be profoundly disturbed, and yet he enjoyed hearing him. There are folk who sometimes say, my word, that was a great sermon. And then almost in the next minute, but I didn't really like it. I remember an occasion long ago, in a particular sermon here one Sunday morning, and after the service down in the church hall where they were counting the collection, I overheard one of the elders saying, my, that was tremendous, wasn't it? I had to remind myself it was just a sermon. But you see, it wasn't just a sermon. It was God speaking to people. Herod used to listen to John and be profoundly disturbed, and yet he enjoyed hearing him. But at the same time, Herod feared John because he was afraid that John's preaching might start a protest movement among the Jews to throw off the Roman yoke, and that would threaten Herod's government. And Herod just couldn't make up his mind what to do with John the Baptist. And then when Jesus came on the scene, Herod was even more perplexed and more disturbed, and he could never really make up his mind what to think about Jesus or what to do with Jesus. And there's a lesson here. When people take too long to decide whether or not to be Christians, it's dangerous. Because as the poet says, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. But if you miss the tide, it can lead on to disaster. And there may very well be people here in church this morning, aye, who are here Sunday after Sunday, and who like the services, and who like the preaching, and who are glad that it's biblical preaching, but who may never yet have personally put their faith in Jesus Christ, never yet made a public profession of faith, never yet committed themselves to Jesus Christ. My friends, if you're in that kind of situation, it's dangerous. And then there came the time of John's rebuke. It is not lawful for you to have this woman. She's your brother's wife. And John's sermons began to challenge Herod's way of life, saying, you are not right with God. What you're doing is not lawful in the sight of God. You know that you're wrong. You know that you have to change. But then you see, Herod was involved. And when romantically or emotionally you're involved with somebody, that's a very powerful situation. And very difficult to change. Herod's fascination for and Herod's obsession with Herodias meant that he was trapped. He was not free. And there's a lesson here. Having once yielded to the enticement of moral wrong, no one is free. Whether the yielding is to tobacco or alcohol
or gambling, or drugs, or pornography, or money, and the list could go on. These things begin to master you. And I believe that Herod's conscience was challenged. I believe that Herod's conscience was convicted. I believe that Herod knew beyond any shadow of doubt that John the Baptist was right. But he was trapped. And he was very aware of Herodias by his side. And Herodias, his wife, was furious. She really was. It says in verse 19, it says it rather politely, Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. I think it's J.B. Phillip who translates it. Herodias had it in for John. I'll get that man yet. I'll silence that man. Oh, my friends, there's a lesson here. It's a lesson about anger. And anger can become diabolical. And that means it's out of your control. Herodias was furious. What right had John the Baptist to criticize her? And at this point it says that Herod kept him safe, kept John safe. It may be that John the Baptist was put in prison by Herod to get him out of the way of Herod's vengeful wife. And round about this time, beginning in verse 14 of our reading, Herod began to hear about Jesus and his ministry and his mighty works. He heard, what did he hear? Oh, these kings had their spy system, their informers. There wasn't much going on in Jerusalem and Judea that Herod didn't know about. What did he hear? He heard about this Jesus. He heard about the stilling of the storm, the feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the lepers. He heard about Levi, the tax gatherer, who had left his job to follow Jesus. You see, a report had come to Herod. The head of the inland revenue in Capernaum has walked out. We need a replacement. He heard about Zacchaeus. He heard about the fury of the Pharisees. He heard about the claims that Jesus was making, that he was none other than the very Son of God. And there's a suggestion that at one stage, Herod may have often summoned John the Baptist from prison to hear him gladly. But always he went back to Herodias. Always he went back to his indulgent way of life. And in that kind of situation, we have an example of the warning given away back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 6 at verse 3, where God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." I've said enough this morning to indicate that many a time and oft, the mind, the heart, the conscience of Herod was spoken to and disturbed and challenged and drawn, but he resisted and he resisted. And then the crisis came. And I'm quite sure that Herod never meant things to go the way they did. He organized a party. That's not a bad thing to do. And in that party, emotions went high. That's not just quite so innocent. And I don't know about the others, but it seems fairly clear that Herod had more to drink than usual. Or perhaps it was that the drink, he may not have had all that much to drink, but it affected him more than he thought. and Herodias. Can you imagine the situation? Herodias saw her chance. She spoke to Herod. Dare I paraphrase it? Did she say to her husband, "By the way, did I tell you that you knew that Salome was going to dancing classes, didn't you? Did I remember to tell you she's got a new choreographer? Oh, he's brilliant. He's world class. Oh, the change in her dance. Would you like to see the latest choreographed performance?" "Oh, yes, sir, yes, certainly." And there's a lesson here. Beware, and I say it with all my heart, beware of sensuous music and sensuous dance. Salome danced. The applause was thunderous. And Herod, at the head of the party, was the focus of attention, as at the end of the performance, as would be the custom, the dancer came and bowed before the king. "Oh," said he, "ask, oh, that was great. Ask me anything. What's your reward? Ask me anything, even to half my kingdom." The pretentious character that he was, he didn't have a kingdom. He was just a civil servant. Do you see, he was big. Oh, don't try to be big. Because if you try to show how big you are, you'll just demonstrate how little you are. Ask what you will. Even to half my kingdom. Oh, it was bravado. Well, you know what happened. Verse 26. The king was exceedingly sorry. Oh, the regret. And in his heart he thought, I can't go back. I've given this with a vow public. I can't. No, he could have gone back. He could have said publicly, "Now that was a stupid thing for me to say. Yes, I want to reward the girl, but let's be reasonable. Ah, but you see, that would have pricked the balloon of his apparent bigness." It wasn't that he couldn't go back on his word, it was that he wouldn't go back. And I believe as he stood there, he was aware of his wife's eagle eye on him, as if to say, "Don't you dare." That wife, I think, was the final factor in sending Herod to hell. You say, "Preacher, this was supposed to be an encounter with Jesus." Yes. Luke chapter 9, verse 9 is recorded that Herod sought to see Jesus. You get the story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see Jesus. His conscience was disturbed. He was aware of the world to come. He was speaking about John the Baptist having been raised from the dead. He wanted to see Jesus. Matthew chapter 14, as we are told in verses 12 and 13, after the dance of Salome and the execution of John the Baptist, Jesus heard and he withdrew. Because you see, Herod had made his decision. He had chosen his way of life. I look again at Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Herod wants to kill you. You see, by this time his heart had hardened. His heart had hardened against Jesus, not just against John the Baptist. Because you see, although John the Baptist had been executed, Herod's bad dreams and his nightmares hadn't stopped. He was still hearing about Jesus and the things he was saying. And he was troubled. And he had designs on Jesus' life. You see, he forgot his fears. And he wanted to kill Jesus. And then Luke chapter 23, verse 9. This is what we referred to at the beginning of the sermon. It's a terrible story, really. When Pilate heard that he's from Herod's territory, asked whether the man was a Galilean, when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. Life had become a bit jaded for Herod. I could do with a miracle. Hear the things about this man. I'm the king after all, and if I command him, he'll do it. So he questioned Jesus at some length. I wonder what he asked about. We're not told. He questioned Jesus at some length, but Jesus made no answer. And I can think of no more solemn picture than a man standing before a silent Jesus. For Herod, the things of God, the things of eternity, the things of the salvation of his soul were no longer serious issues, no longer any conscience, no longer any trembling, no thoughts of repentance. The chief priests and the scribes stood by accusing Jesus, and Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. And then, arraying him in gorgeous apparel, sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. But a friendship that is made on the basis of contemptuous rejection of Jesus is a friendship that has the mark of hell on it. You see, Herod standing before a silent Jesus was not Herod's day of decision. It was Herod's day of judgment. You say, when was his day of decision? I don't know, but it was past. And he lived another 6 years, but never again, never again did he think of Jesus. And Herod died as he had lived, a sinner without God. Listen to these words from a hymn in our supplementary hymn book. Depth of mercy can there be, mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Whence to me this waste of love? Ask my advocate above, see the cause in Jesus' face, now before the throne of grace. There for me the Savior stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hands. God is love. I know, I feel, Jesus lives and loves me still. If I rightly read thy heart, if thou all compassion art, bow thine ear, in mercy bow, pardon and accept me now. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts. Amen, and may God bless the preaching of his word.